Lower position. Take the back seat. Okay. But there's a correlative principle here, which we miss. It isn't just that I put myself in back. The correlative principle is that I put others forward. You hear that? Not just that I put myself in back, but that I put others forward. I say to somebody, now wouldn't you like to sit next to? Or wouldn't you like to have this opportunity? Or when something is accomplished in an organization, how many times have you heard the chief of that organization take all the credit and not acknowledge the work that had been done that made it possible, the actual hands-on work that had been done that made that achievement possible? Whereas if you have ever been in a situation where the chief executive officer points up the persons who were the real workers and contributors and accomplishers of this task, this feat, and gives them the honor and builds them up, guess how it makes the CEO look? Makes him look good, right? Instead of arrogating or taking for himself the credit because he wants it, and that's his pride that's speaking, he instead genuinely wants others to be honored. He wants them to have it in the sun. He wants them to have the opportunity to be recognized. And a very good making sure that people are somehow they're recognized. That's a call behind forward. I call putting yourself behind without putting others forward. Whereas generality is caring more about the honor and the needs of others than you do about your own honor and your own needs at that moment. Mary? Wow. Did you hear that? John McCrow's motto was, you're only as big as the people beneath you. And so they make you look good if they're good. I understand exactly what you're saying. Well, we put myself behind, others forward. You look now at your life in that regard. 1 Peter chapter 5. Where we read Peter's words, his admonition in 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, that can be done either genuinely, or that could be done as a cultural affectation. And I've seen it both ways, where the elder is honored because they're the elder, because that's the cultural principle, or the elder is honored because they have achieved a certain stature and they have certain wisdom and they deserve to be given that honor. And therefore it is given. And so he says that in the latter sense, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, I would be really fearful if I thought that as I push myself forward, God is pushing back. You hear me? I would be fearful as I push myself forward to realize that God is pushing back. For he resists the proud. He's pushing back the other way. No. I will decide who is to be recognized and who is to be honored. Allow me to decide. Don't you decide. And we want to achieve our recognition for ourselves. And the book of Proverbs says elsewhere, don't you be the one that praises you yourself with your own lips, let another do it. Don't you be the one that brags on yourself. If you toot your own horn, it's going to be a sour note. Yes. Of course. Negotiating by intimidation, right. And I think that it can be done. I have been in negotiating situations where the person has been a steamroller, and not velvet covered either. They're just plain old steamroller. And they just roll right over you, or they try to roll right over you, and by sheer force of their own personality, they try to, you know, make it happen. But, you know, sometimes they get their way, but inside you find people resisting. Inside you find people resentful. To that approach. And I think that what I have always enjoyed is the gracious gentleman, gentlewoman executive who, by virtue of the manner in which they present themselves in a meeting, give you the sense that they have both self-confidence on the one hand, that they don't have to prove anything on the other, that they are genuinely caring about you and your situation and your needs, and that out of that graciousness, you want to respond. You find yourself wanting to participate because they are making it easy for you. You have somebody kind of try to ride over you, you're going to say, whoa! That is not what you want to do if you want to be successful, at least if you want people to really respond to you, other than what you can make them do. So, yes? Yes. One of those life lessons. Right, right. And this is a very important life lesson to be taught. So putting ourselves backward, behind, or lower, putting others forward, honoring, in this case, he says, your elders, and all of you be submissive to one another. Now that's interesting. That means that everyone is to be treated as someone to whom you should defer. Everyone. Be submissive to one another. I think I'm being beeped at because I didn't turn something off. How thoughtless. Sorry. Everyone is to be treated as someone who is so important that you should defer to them. They're to be made to feel that important, not just by virtue of an affectation on your part where you kind of, you know, give them a nod of the head in their direction. But rather you show them genuine interest. Now, let me tell you how this works out in practicality. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who asks you, hi, how are you? Let me tell you about me. As opposed to being in a conversation where the person genuinely shows interest and they begin to ask you about yourself and your family, and as soon as you've told them one fact, they don't just suddenly move on. But they draw you out and they really make you feel comfortable. They make you feel that you matter and that you're important. You catch more flies with honey, as the old saying goes. The important point here is that people don't want to be manipulated and used, because that's a sign that they're not important and that you have put yourself above them. You understand? Whereas if you're genuinely interested in them, you've given them not only airtime, and not only given them opportunity to share about themselves, but you've told them they're important, that their life matters. And there are so many people in our world today who think that their life does not matter, or that they're not respected, or that they're not appreciated for what they accomplish. And there are others who make them feel that way. Whereas how we would contribute to the happiness and the spiritual well-being even of people whose lives we build up by virtue of causing them to understand that they're important to God and they're important to us. They're important in themselves because they're creatures of God. They're made in the image of God. They have worth because God gave them worth. People's worth does not come from us. They're not worth something simply because you defer to them in a humble way. They're already worth something. All your deference, all your submission does is to recognize that worth that God has already given. And that humility, which is a recognition of what God has already invested in others by virtue of submission here, does not mean under the thumb of. Submission in Greek means that you place yourself in a position to support and to lift up. So if you are in a position where you are going to support or lift up someone, then you're in a position where you're offering to do something that will benefit them, something that will really cause their life to improve and to be better. If that communication is given, then you're showing, I think, what the Bible means by love. Love is other-oriented. Love cares more about the interests of the other than the interest of the self. Is that not humility? Humility is love in action, in relationship to other people. Well, most importantly, besides putting others first, is putting God first. You say, well, that's obvious, is it? Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. This is the other illustration besides Mary that came to my mind almost immediately when I began thinking about the issue of humility and what illustrations in the Scripture there were that would be vivid, that we would be familiar with. Here's one that I think is significant in John's Gospel, chapter 3, on this matter of humility. Starting in verse 25 of John 3. John 3:25. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, and the Jews, that is, the Jewish leaders. When John's Gospel says the Jews, it means the Jewish leaders, not the people. Some of John's disciples and the Jewish leaders about purification. That means washing in order to be ceremonially clean. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, they were always using terms of honor and respect, he who is with you beyond Jordan, referring to Jesus, to whom you have testified, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, was the testimony. Behold, he is baptizing, and you're John the Baptist. He is baptizing. And all are coming to him. Ooh, what a play to pride. All are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. His first response was a humble response. If Jesus is getting note, if people are coming to him, it's because God's given that to him. Verse 28, you yourselves, John the Baptist says, bear me witness that I said before, I am not the Messiah, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him, I am his herald, announcing his coming. He who has the bride, using the illustration of bride and bridegroom, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Listen, we're talking about the kingdom, and we're talking about salvation, and that is the bride. And who is the bridegroom? Why, the bridegroom is the Messiah. It is the one who has been sent by the Father to bring that salvation. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. Just a friend of the bridegroom. But I'm a real friend. I know who's really important at this wedding. And it's not me. It's the bridegroom. And therefore, I'm going to rejoice when I hear the bridegroom's voice. It is his occasion of celebration. And therefore, when he is being honored, I rejoice. Because I'm a true friend of the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine, as one who is here to come before him and to lift him up, my joy is now fulfilled. Here comes verse 30. Here is the best succinct definition of humility in all of the Scriptures. He must increase, but I must decrease. Write that down. Underscore that. Memorize that. If you want a succinct way of understanding humility as the Bible is attempting to teach it, it's saying he must gain the preeminence. He already has it. He is preeminent. The Lord himself is, of course, King of kings and Lord of lords. But from the point of view of our attitude, he must have the preeminence. He must increase and have more importance all the time in my life, which means I must have less importance. I must have less importance to me all the time in my life. The I being an I who is a self and an ego apart from him. There must not be an ego on a trip. That ego must be diminished. I must decrease. The ego must be decreased. Now, it's wonderful how God's economy works. Remember what I said before, that it's not enough just to put yourself behind, that you need to put others forward. Well, the way you become decreased is for him to increase. Kind of neat. You don't have to struggle anymore about how to be humble. You just keep magnifying Jesus. You just keep lifting him up. And as you put him forward, And as you magnify him and honor him and give him the credit, you're also at the same time, ipso facto, you're taking that honor away from yourself. You're taking that credit away from yourself because you're giving it to him. It's not something you have to struggle to do. Because as you're giving it to him, you're removing it from yourself. He must increase, and I must decrease. Yes. Lift him higher. That's great. That's perfect. Absolutely perfect. What is... We've got to close now. I think that we have covered it well. I was going to cover another topic on the subject of the benefits of humility, but I'm not going to, because the book of Proverbs in 22:4 says that it gives you riches, it gives you honor, it gives you life. All of the good things come to you by virtue of the open hand. You see, all the good things are the gifts of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. So all the good things come from him anyway, riches, honor, life, and as we read in Proverbs chapter 3, and most of all, his grace. His empowerment, his person, his presence, his spirit in you is his great gift to you, to enable you to do all that he calls you to do when his call is upon you, as Pastor Joe said earlier. Let's go to the Lord now in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you because that itself is an act of humility, to bow our knee. In our hearts, if not in our bodies, we are bowing our knee because we confess that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that you are the one who deserves the glory and the honor and the praise. It is not that you are one who has to be flattered because you're the God of this universe. It is rather, it is what happens to us when we give you honor.